Be able to share the word of God with you guys this morning, and it's lovely to see Martin and Jan in here as well. And I'll just open up in prayer quickly. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of eternal life and the gift of your Son Jesus, Lord. I just pray that you would use me as your vessel this morning, Lord, and your Spirit would speak through me, Lord, and pierce the heart of the congregation this morning. All for your glory, Lord. Lessen me and more with you, Jesus. Amen. I don't know why I'm so nervous when I speak in front of church people. I've been to jail a number of times, and that's a dark, intimidating place. And a lot of the people are in there are 6 foot tall. You've got muscles like this, missing teeth, tattoos on their faces. That's just the female guards. But you stand me in front of a bunch of church people and my legs just can go. I don't know why. I think it's because sharing the word of God is such a big responsibility. And I was going to speak on Ecclesiastes this morning, but I feel that I should do a disputation and exhortation on the book of Leviticus. That's the look I was hoping for. That would be long and boring, and we don't come to church to be bored. We also don't come to church to be entertained. We come to church, one, to be equipped to go out into the mission field, two, to be discipled, and three, obviously, to praise and worship the Lord and give thanks for everything he's done within our lives. There's three C's I want to mention quickly that I believe that we should all receive from the word of God when we're in church on a Sunday, which I already knew, but I heard it yesterday at the men's meeting, and it was awesome. The first one is challenged. We should be challenged by the word of God. We should be. If we're sat there and we're challenged, don't confuse being challenged with being condemned. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ, but we are challenged by the word of God, because when we hear something like, oof, it's a bit close to the bone, then that's when we need to reevaluate where we are with God. It's good to be challenged. Two is changed. We should be changed. We should be a changed person. We should be a different person when we leave than to the person we were when we come in. We should be changed, otherwise what's the point? We should be growing. And three, comforted. We should be comforted by the word of God as well. Alright? Right, if you've got your Bibles, if you just want to turn to Ecclesiastes 3. I'll read it out anyway. For everything there is a season, a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. Now, as Christians, we go through many seasons. We go through happy seasons, sad seasons, rich seasons, poor seasons. And we're not exempt from any of the bad things that happen in life because we are Christians. We go through these seasons as well. But what I want to do, I want to put this message in a metaphorical picture this morning, because I think it helps you remember it more, and I think it stays with you longer. So I'm going to do an action on the stage. I want someone to shout out what it is, and before Harvey shouts out, the answer is looking stupid on the stage. It isn't that. Alright, here we go. First one to shout out gets 5 points. You ready? Who said that? And my wife said I couldn't make it as an actor. See how quick he got that? Right, we're going to go surfing on the message is entitled Riding Waves, and we're going to go surfing on the surfboard of God's promises. I've got 5 waves, the waves are going to come, obviously, one after another. So, the first wave is the wave of trials. We all go through trials, that's a given, that's a fact of life. But when we go through these trials, we tend to forget people in the Bible who've gone through trials. And after time, the trials we're going through are nothing compared to what a lot of other people in the world are going through. For example, The Jews going through the Holocaust, that was a trial. We haven't been anywhere near anything like that, I'm sure we haven't. 16-year-old boys during the Second World War being sent to war to fight for the country. How scary is that? That's a trial. But the one I want to look at quickly is in the book of Daniel, the fiery furnace. These guys, Meshach, Shadrach, and into bed we go. That's not the names, by the way. That's just a joke. They were about to be thrown into a fiery furnace for not worshipping King Nebuchadnezzar and staying true to their God. Now this fiery furnace was so hot that even the guards who were thrown fuel onto the fire were being burnt alive. That's how hot it was. There was no way out of it. They were going into it and they weren't coming back out. So when they got through in, people who were watching started realising there was a fourth person in there. And they're like, what's going on? What's going on? Who's that? That fourth person was Jesus Christ. See, now we're in that fiery furnace. Jesus is in there with us, with his arm around us saying, listen, you're going to be alright. I'm in this with you. And I'm going to be getting you through it. And I'm going to be at the other end of you. Jesus is in there with us. Psalm 46 says, God is our refuge, our strength, and our ever-present help in trouble. He is. We don't give up on that. Who else is going to help us in these trials? You know, not loved ones can help to a certain extent, but they're human as well. They're prone to going through problems themselves, you know. Thing is, he's only our trouble. He's only our strength and refuge in trouble if we call on him and allow him to be. Psalm 91 says, when they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honour them. So we need to call on him. And sometimes we do call on God and it feels like he's not answering our prayers. But don't be disheartened, because sometimes God doesn't answer prayers how we feel he should answer them. He doesn't answer them how we would like him to answer them sometimes. But one thing I do know is he answers the best way and he answers at the best time. And just four quick points I want to leave you with. These are really important. These are the things I want you to take away this morning. Nothing is permanent in this wicked world, not even your trials. They will pass and Jesus will walk with you through them. Troubles are often the tools by which God fashions us for greater things. If you're not trialed, if you're not tested, if you're not perplexed, then how are you ever going to grow into what God wants you to be? Worrying about tomorrow's problems only robs you of today's peace. The Bible says don't worry about tomorrow. You spend today worrying about tomorrow, you've lost today's peace. And this is one of my favourites. If you only pray when you're in trouble, then you're in trouble. That's good. It's true. And it's so often the case, isn't it? We only ever pray when we really need them or when we're in trouble. So that was wave one, wave of trials. Wave two, the wave of pain. See, depending on your outlook and how you look at pain, pain isn't a bad thing. It feels bad, but it's not a bad thing. I'm no stranger to the gym. I haven't been there for a long time, since we have either. But when you lift weight, it hurts. But the more pain you feel, the bigger you grow. You've all heard the expression, no pain, no gain. But through that pain, you become stronger. So more pain equals more strength. More weight equals more pain. More pain equals more strength. So we should really, in theory, thank God this morning for the pain that we've been through, because it's made us the strong person we are today. 2 Corinthians says, for the more we suffer in Christ, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ. So that's one promise we can stand on. The worse we're feeling through this pain, the more God will shower us with comfort. That's a promise of God. That's what it says. In 2 Corinthians it says, take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in persecutions, for when I am weak, then I am strong. God says, in our weakness, his strength is made whole, is perfect, sorry. And that's true, because I've just been sat there bricking it, and now I'm up here, I'm relying on God's strength, and I'm feeling good, you know? And again, when we're in this pain, it's about choosing to see God in it, believing that God's going to get us through it, and God's going to see us through to the end. We've got to see God in it. We've got to seek God through it. And he will see us through it. Listen to this promise that we can throw on our surfboard. 1 Peter, After you have suffered a little while, the God of grace, who has called you to his eternal glory, will himself restore you, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. So after you've suffered, God not only restores you, he confirms you, he strengthens you, he makes you stronger, he makes you a stronger person, and he establishes you. That is awesome. That to me says we will have the victory over any pain that we will encounter in life if we remain in him. We will have restoration if we remain in him, if we trust in him for it. See, my pain will never be your pain. Your pain will never be my pain. Therefore, my restoration will not be your restoration. Your restoration will not be my restoration. But best believe, God restores the broken. God fixes the broken. There's comfort to be found in pain, guys. It's just how we look at it. 2 points I want to leave you with on pain. Again, pain is temporary, quitting lasts forever. And the pain you feel today will be the strength that you carry tomorrow. So embrace pain. We can praise God for pain. We can thank God for pain. See, it's all about your attitude, because your attitude determines your altitude. You can let the pain beat you, or you can rely on God's word. Amen? Wave three, the wave of fear. Satan wants us to live in fear. He wants to knock you off the surfboard of God's promises through fear and doubt. He wants to rob you of what God's got planned for your life through fear. Not only does he want to rob you of what God's got planned for your life, but he wants to rob you of God, and he also wants to rob God of you. See, in Isaiah, it says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you." And we all know this verse: if our God is for us, who can be against us? See, this is awesome, I think. See, the word fear abbreviated can mean three things. Forget everything can run. Forget God's word. Forget God's promises. It's not true. Ain't going to help you. That's the fear Satan tries to instill in us. Remember that. Forget everything can run. Or you can face everything and rise by remembering God's promises, by standing on God's promises. My personal favourite is false evidence appearing real. See, the thing is, guys, fear doesn't even exist. It just exists in here, where most our battles are won and lost. See, we tend to give life to fear when we think about future events and what might happen or what could happen. And the thing we fear most never actually ever happens, does it? Do not fear is written 365 times in the Bible. And as Sarnova's enlightened me with, that's one for every day of the year. And it is. And there's a reason for that. It's God saying, do not fear, I am with you. Romans 8 says, the spirit you received does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. We used to live in fear. We shouldn't be living in fear now in God. What's there to fear? We have the victory. God give us the spirit of power and love and of sound mind. Let's walk in it and let's surf on it. So when the wave of fear comes along, there's a lot of promises there to remember. And just remember that fear is only in your head. Amen? That's the wave of fear. Wave four is the wave of compassion. As we read through the New Testament, it reads so many times that Jesus had compassion on them. Jesus was moved by compassion. My question this morning, church, is, are we showing compassion to others? Listen to this. The Bible says, he will not forget how hard you have worked for him by caring for other believers and showing your love to them. Now, that's all good and well. The Bible also says, what reward do you have if you love those who love you? Well, what compassion have we shown out there? We're representing Jesus, and are we showing compassion to the people less fortunate than ourselves? There's a saying that sometimes the only Bible people read is you. You're the only Bible people will read. So how we show love and compassion to others, especially non-believers out there, speaks volumes for what God's actually done in our lives. When I was in Victory Outreach, the team that me and Harvey play for now, Phil Payne, set up a football team for the boys in rehab. There was obviously a few people from out to the side of rehab come and played for us. Anyway, we were playing this one game. I didn't have no football boots. So I'm a size 8, sometimes a 7, and I was playing in like size 10s. I looked like a clown. But I still managed to score 3 goals. And there was a couple there, a Christian couple. They're very wealthy, but they're the most humble people you'll ever meet, called John and Helen. And they were on the sideline watching us. And he said to one of the boys, "Oh, Martin's a good player, isn't he?" And the kid said, "Oh, yeah, it's not bad to say he's wearing boots 3 sizes bigger than what he is." And within about 4 days, they donated £50 to Victory Outreach for me to go out and buy a new pair of football boots that actually fit. Now, I'd maybe been saved about 4 months then, but the way that spoke to me, and the way that it showed love, I'd never known that in a long time. Do you know what I mean? And that's when I thought, I definitely want some of this Christianity, man. They don't even know me. They've only known me about 2 weeks, and they're giving me £50 to go out and buy new football boots, you know? Little things like that could be the reason why I'm still here today, you know? So you never give up doing the small things for other people, because sometimes them small things occupy the biggest part of their heart. You say a few kind words to someone in the street and you don't know the impact that's going to have on people. Listen to this, in Proverbs it says, "Giving help to the poor is like loaning money to God. He will pay you back for your kindness." That's a promise. It's not a motive, but it's a promise. He will pay you back for your kindness. It also says, "Do not merely look out for your own interest, but also the interest of others, especially those who are less fortunate." How many of us this week can say that we've done something nice for someone less fortunate than ourselves? You don't have to answer that. You know yourself. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. If you haven't, maybe you're challenged. That's what I was on about. See, it's not about how we stand with the saved. It's about how we sit with the sinners. That's what we're called to do. And never look down on anyone unless you're helping them up. Amen? I was on drugs. I was on the streets. And these weird people who were really happy all the time, called Christians, never looked down on me and they never give up on me. And I'm here today. Praise God. This is the final wave and this is the most important one. The way of the truth. What is truth? Truth can hurt. The truth can comfort. The truth can break up families. The truth can restore families. The truth can set us free. Because of my addiction, I missed out on the first 10 years of my son's life. That's hard to admit. That's a bitter pill to swallow. But the fact is, it's the truth. That's the truth of it. The truth can't be changed, it can't be challenged, and it can't be disputed, because the truth is what it is. It's not who I am now, praise God for that. But I take comfort in the fact that God says, "I will restore the years the locusts have eaten." And He has. Not only has He given me son back, I've got the best relationship with him ever. He brought my birth father into my life, who lives in Australia, who I'd never met till I was 31. So God, He delivers on His promises, man. He stands true to His word. You know, He does restore the years the locusts have eaten. The Bible says that Jesus is the way, the truth and the life. And that to enter the kingdom of God, a person must be born again. They're sobering words, because I'm sure we've all got loved ones and friends that aren't saved. And the Bible reads that, well, you know what it says, but it doesn't sound good to us, does it? But if you read the Bible, you can take comfort in the fact that God says, "My arm is not too short that I cannot save." And if God could reach down to the depths where I was and save me, there's nobody in this world He can't save. We need to stand firm on that promise. It also says that you and your household shall be saved. Cling on to that. Pray that. The Bible says, "Hold firm to the truth that you were first told." See, there's so many churches and so many pastors and so many preachers now. It isn't about winning souls anymore. It's about filling seats. It's about collecting money in. and he preached this watered down gospel. And unfortunately, I can't figure out why, but people believe it. Maybe they believe it because it's not as harsh as the truth. And they believe, oh, actually, if I follow this person and I listen to what he's saying, then maybe all my family are going to be saved. You know, maybe my friends are saved. Maybe my sin isn't actually as bad as what the Bible says it is, because this guy's preaching something that says it's not as bad as what it is. But don't succumb to the deception. The Bible says, hold firm to the truth you were first taught. The truth can't hurt. I would rather be hurt by the truth, but eventually comforted by it in the end, and go to heaven, rather than comforted by a lie that eventually leads to death. We all know the truth. Just don't be swayed by, you know. The best way of telling a lie is keeping it as close to the truth as possible. And that's what these preachers and pastors do. And it baffles me how they've got so many people sat within the churches with the Bible in their hand, listening to what they're told. I've only been a Christian 7 years, and I'm like, that's way off. How can you believe that? Read the book. It's all there, in black and white. So guys, I just want to encourage us all, stand firm on the truth of the safeguard of God's promises. So next time you're on holiday by the sea, or the next time Marvin throws on a wetsuit down in Newquay to go bodyboarding, just I hope some of this comes back to you. The Bible says that the sun sets free is free indeed, but first of all we must accept our freedom. Amen. Right, bless you all. Thank you for listening.